Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
The scripture reading this morning is Matthew 2, 1 through 12. It's written in the bulletin so you can follow along with me if you can't understand me. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of all my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God.
Myself together here. Growing up, I remember the console that our family had. And our console was the latest in 1960s technology. It was large, had kind of a walnut stain to the veneer on it, and could either be used to listen to the radio, mainly ball games, or to play records. And we had records, 78s, 45s, 33 and a thirds. For those of you who were born before 1965-ish, you know what all those numbers mean. For the unenlightened, they were the speeds the records were played. 33 and a third was the speed of an LP, the album. 45 was the speed for singles, but you also had to have that little plastic contraption that fit down in the hole. 78 was the speed for really old records. That would have been my mom's collection, and some we got from my great aunt Edith and my uncle Faye. Broadway musical records. Some American songbook style records. The Longines Symphonette collection series. Do you remember those? They came in those big, kind of thick cardboard type boxes. You open up and there'd be like five or six albums inside there. Oh, those were heavenly. I got started with the sing-along albums when I was four. In fact, that's how I learned to read. Some of Mom's old records got quite the workout. And the Disney albums we received as kids, Peter Pan, Snow White, Songs of the South. Well, that kept me preoccupied until, well, pretty late grade school. By the time I got to sixth grade, sister and I were playing mostly singles. Beach Boys, Herman's Hermits, Ricky Nelson. Clever songs like Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Bikini. And the real tearjerkers like Tell Laura I Love Her. Oh my gosh. My junior high, it was, of course, for me, the Osmond Brothers, the Partridge Family, the Carpenters, and Jesus Christ Superstar. Over and over and over. By the time I was in high school, I had been banished to my own room with my own record player, a handy little portable. I still preferred, however, the sound that came out of those big 2-foot speakers that had been built into this giant console. But when the whole family gathered around, it was comedy that we wanted to hear. We had a Longines collection of the golden age of radio that had one whole album dedicated to the likes of Fanny Brice and Red Skelton, Nichols and May, David Steinberg, and other greats like Jack Benny and Burns and Allen. We had a Danny Kaye album full of tongue twisters and clever songs with tricky lyrics that we all had memorized. We had a collection of Jewish skits and bits from the Poconos, album called When You're in Love, The Whole World is Jewish. I think we all, everyone in the family still knows every word of every one of those skits. We had Von Meade's First Family, which was a parody of life in the Kennedy White House. There was a Smothers Brothers album containing Aesop fables, and our families could recite these albums front to back. Various expressions crept into our family dialect, and they are still there today. I can talk to some mom about something really silly, and she goes, "Well, what? It's just an obby." They were an important part of our Vermilion culture. One of my favorite comedy bits, however, was a 78 that we had inherited from my great aunt Edith. I played it to death the first summer we moved to Vincennes. I had grown up watching Andy Griffith on the Andy Griffith Show. His character, Andy Taylor, is still the kind of guy I would like to marry when I grow up. But Andy started out as a comic. He liked to tell stories. Long narratives that looked at something that we take for granted, but as told through the eyes of someone who is just learning about it. And in this story, Andy, a backwoods hillbilly, never exposed to the sports world, comes across a crowd of people moving into this large chunk of, well, farmland, a cow pasture, he calls it, to watch this game. He describes the crowds, the cheers, the uniforms, and, well, mostly the game itself. Guys wearing funny colored breeches are given this brown pill, and what they do with that pill, well, it's just hilarious. By the end of the routine, though, he had figured it all out. You see, what it was football. And the object of that game is to run that little brown pill from one end of the cow pasture to the other without stepping in anything. I grew up believing that. Not so much about football, but about life. Even in all my 50 plus years, I don't think I've heard life described better. Our goal is to take what is given us, get it to its destination, try not to step in anything that would slow us down or stop us altogether. Of course, learning to do that takes a lot. Wisdom takes direction. It takes commitment. And it takes action. The Magi, the wise men, well, they had all that. They were wise. I mean, it's right there in their name. They knew how to read the signs around them, or in this case, above them. They saw a star like no others. Researched it, Googled it, whatever. Determined that the star meant there was a new beginning for a small occupied nation in the West. So, direction, go west, wise men, follow that star. So they committed to this trip. It took a lot to make a trip of that magnitude. Transportation was needed, servants to handle the chores of moving things, food supplies to last for a long time on the road, but they did it. Got it and all those gifts packed together and got going. Wise, directed, committed, and moving. Their goal was clear. Take the gifts worthy of a new king, follow that western star, and keep going no matter what until they reached the child. Well, their journey eventually led them to Jerusalem and to the very courts of King Herod. After all, this was a king that had been born. Surely they would find information of him there. All they found was Herod. Herod, a bit of a psychopath in royal clothing. He was in the early stages of the brain disease that would one day kill him, and very paranoid. When he got paranoid, so did everyone around him. When the Magi asked to see this new king, he somehow managed to hold it together. In the spirit of cooperation and celebration of this blessed event, he called his priest to determine where the child may have been born. Bethlehem. Okay. From the Magi, he was able to learn when the big event might have happened. About 2 years ago. Well, suffering from his own form of wisdom, knowing the direction the child was, and committed to wiping that child off the face of the earth, King Herod told the wise men where the new king was, wished them well, and, yes, please let me know where you have found him so I can go and worship him as well. Well, the wise men climbed back on their camels, horses, whatever, and left for Bethlehem. The star appeared even brighter and led them right into town, right to the house that had become the home for Joseph, Mary, and Jesus. They made their way inside. They presented their gifts, and they marveled at and honored and worshiped this very precious toddler. What a journey. But they had made it from one end of their region to the other, and as far as they knew, they had done so successfully. They hadn't stepped in anything, any turmoil, any trouble, nothing that slowed them down, nothing that would stop them yet. But as they rested from their adventure, the Lord came to them in a dream. A dream. A new sign to read. God wanted them to return to the east, but gave them a different route to follow. Now, we don't know much about these Magi, except that they came from the east. We don't know how many of them there were. There were three gifts, so maybe there were three Magi, but there could have been more, maybe less. And were the Magi also kings, or were they seers, or, oh my gosh, could they have even been magicians? We don't know. We don't know how long that trip took them to travel. We know that Jesus is about two at this time, but we don't know the itinerary of the trip themselves, how long it took them to get going, and how many days it took them to get there. We don't even know if these men were followers of Yahweh, God. Possibly not. But during the years of the Hebrew exile, the religion had spread to further places than just Israel and Judea. All we've got to go on is that they are wise men. Today, when you hear people talk about wisdom and knowledge, it's in the terms of, well, enlightenment, reason, logic. What can be proved and seen above what is taken on faith and unseen? This world seems to love the smart person who knows everything, the ability to understand what is going on around them, knows how to turn a computer on and off without it crashing, everything that is, with just one exception. God. It's kind of a fad today to say, well, I know a lot of things, but you know, I don't really know that God exists. I'm not sure there is a God. Well, if you want to believe in this God, go ahead. I mean, that's your business, but I don't need that kind of crutch anymore. We heard people say these kind of things. In biblical terms, however, the wise man is not just smart. He is also a person of faith. These wise men knew how to read the signs. Signs of God's intervention. Signs of God's direction. Signs of God's hope. And the wise man knows how to avoid evil's traps and the easy paths that could lead them there. The wise man knows that trusting God is the only way to get through this life. And I think the Magi were men like these. Because they were, that is why they were able to see that unique star, understand its meaning, and commit to following it until they reach their destination, fully expecting to find this miracle at the end. And because they were wise, they were open to God and to God's direction. So when they dreamed of the dangers from Herod and the route that they should take home, they didn't argue about it or even discuss it. They just did it. They dished King Herod, went back to their country by another road. They watched where they were going, not taking the same route home, but leaning on their understanding of God's direction, watching the signs as to where they should step. Wisdom, direction, commitment, action. Well, when he realized the wise men were returning, King Herod didn't take this very well. And in one of his more deranged moments, imagined a 2-year-old a threat to his supremacy and ordered all the male children in Bethlehem, 2 and under, to be killed, because surely in that mix somewhere would have been this child. However, Jesus was not among the children that day. Joseph, also a wise man, a man of faith and commitment to God, also had been given a dream. And like the wise man, he didn't argue or discuss. Mary, God told us to take Jesus and move to Egypt to escape Herod. He wants to kill Jesus, and we're not going to let that happen. And once again, we see wise people listening to God's direction, packing up what little they had and getting out of town. Wisdom, direction, commitment, action. How do we handle the world around us? How do we handle the life that we've been given and the path that we have been set on? How do we know what to believe, what to do, when to act? First, we have to be wise. We need to immerse ourselves into God's presence so that we know his voice. And we need to understand his word and the signs that he gives us to follow. And then, second, we need to take his direction. Let God order our steps so that we're moving on the right path. We need to trust that God wants the best for us and in us and through us. So we take the steps of faith that others who are alone would never take. It's commitment. And then, finally, we act. There are many truths that God has revealed to us. We are wise enough to understand them for ourselves most of the time. We can follow them in our hearts and even our heads sometimes. But committing to those truths requires action. What if the wise men had not committed to what their dream revealed? What if they had traveled back the way they came? Jerusalem. What if Joseph had not committed to his dream revealed? What if he had not taken that action and not left Bethlehem? What if we had not committed to the life that has been revealed to us through Christ? And what if we never act on what God asks of us? I am challenging myself in this new year, and I would challenge us to wisely seek God's direction on how to live his truth on a daily basis. If we know that God's truth is revealed in his love, then we need to commit to sharing that love and then do so. If we know that God's truth is grace, then we need to commit to showing grace to others and then do so. If we know God's truth is mercy and forgiveness, then we need to commit to being merciful and forgiving others, and then do so. See, what it is faith, wisdom, direction, commitment, action. It's how we get from here to there without stepping in something that will stop us, slow us down, entrap us, or bind us. It's how we watch our steps. Amen. Amen.